Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
McMonagall, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, McMonagall, da-da-da-da-da. We did that every day for a long time. And then, now sporadically, and then even today he was too busy for me. I think it's because I allowed someone to horn in on the business last night, and I didn't tell them that there's only one McMonagall song. I'm sorry, Rich. But Ack is the best. Another guy, I believe he has announced that his time with the company is ending at the end of December. Ack. What can you say about Ack? Just an absolute staple of the station. One of those unique characters that made this place what it was for a long time. And, you know, he's great with dates. Like, even now, anytime I'm always set. And even though he's not going to be here past December, I know that if I ever forget my wife and I's anniversary, he will let me know. Because every year I get the text message about my kids' birthdays. Every year I get the text message about my anniversary. He knows all the dates. You give him a date and he'll tell you what day of the week it was. You go like, June 12th, 1984. It was a Wednesday. Like, how'd you know that? He's incredible. As well as being a great broadcaster. The great Rich Ackerman, everyone. And one hell of a songwriter. It's got one word in it, but it's a great word. 888-808-1019. Let's go to Richie in Queens. What's up, Richie?
Hey, Chris, congratulations.
Thank you very much, Rich. I appreciate that.
I know you will hold your own against that lunatic. I'm looking forward to the show. Hopefully I'll get through.
I will hang on for dear life.
Yes, you will.
I already have some experience doing it. Believe me, I know.
I know, you worked with him.
Yeah,
radio.
I had a whole week and a half trying to defend spending $12 on shrimp. I'm well versed in the lunatic, as you call him.
Yeah, and you know, he's a radio guy,
and that he is.
I've had my issues with him listening to him, but I kind of got hooked on him, and I think he'll do a good job. So, unfortunately, some people got to be moved. I wish them the best. And hey, a shout out to Keith. I didn't even know he was gone. Wherever he is, Keith, I called him all the time. We talked about movies that he never saw. I told him a list.
Not much of a movie guy, no.
No, not at all. All right, listen, on this, we've talked about this.
But yeah, no, Keith, I worked in front of Keith for a bunch of years. Always great, always a good guy, always nice to me, always had nice things to say about me. And we dominated Yankee Talk in the evenings for a long time.
Oh,
so.
My God, yeah.
I wish Keith the best as well.
Not giving up any secrets. You know where he is or where he's going to be?
You can find he's got his, like, his, right now, I don't know off the top of my head, but you could find him on Instagram and stuff. Right now, he's going to be putting out content. He's doing live stuff on social media and things. But you know, he'll be around.
Well, good. I'll find him down the road. Just like I just found Maggie after 2 years. I've been calling her quite a bit. Maggie, great.
Good. Yeah, Maggie. Worked with Maggie too. Worked with everybody down the line somewhere or another.
Yeah, look, I've been around since the beginning. You know, Chris, since '87. You started 17 years ago. I've been around 37 years a little bit longer when you add up all the years with me, but
yep.
Hey, on this, I've been down on Cone for a while. You know, we're talking about a 5-year plan now, maybe a 6-year plan down the road, blah, blah, blah. I don't understand certain things. Obviously, I understand that at this point in time, Diaz is gone. Best closer in the game.
Mm-hmm.
Most prolific RBI guy is gone.
Yep.
Okay, maybe you got to break the core up. The core wasn't the issue last year. It was the pitching. I mean, Senga and Minaya were non-entities, and they lost by a game. They would have been in the playoffs. Not that they had a phenomenal year.
Right.
But you look at Alvarez. You look at their third baseman. You look at a 35-year-old Semien, who I've loved, but the last 3 years he hasn't been the same. You have no left fielder. You have no center fielder.
No.
And so
they have so much work to do. It's ridiculous.
Yeah,
like they have so much. They have to build a rotation, add at least another couple of bullpen arms. They probably need two outfielders. They need a first baseman. Like, they don't have any starters. Like, I mean, they have a ton of work to do.
Yeah, and to say, like, I listened to Licata today and they tried to get through. Well, he has a plan. Like you said, it takes two to tango. You might want certain guys. Like, is Bellinger coming here? I think he's going back to the Yankees.
Yeah, I don't know.
Is Tucker coming here? I don't think he's coming here. So, I mean, they're going to get Bregman, you know, so the plan is what? They're going to get Scooble and give up half their prospects.
Right.
So at this point in time, this is to end it. No way that you would think that 5 years into his ring with all the money, because everybody talked, and to lose Diaz over $3 million, that's mind-boggling. And, you know, when you look at who signed, you know, Diaz wasn't expected to get more than three. He got five. Pete, no way they're going to give him three. He got five. And then you look at Schwarber, who's at 35 years old. He got $150 million. That kind of shocked me as a DH. So you just don't know. Are there things on the horizon that could happen? It better happen.
Well, of
Otherwise,
course.
You're going to have to say, wait another year or 2 years.
No, I mean, right now you are playing kids. You're playing Benjen. You're playing Benjen left, Taylor in center. Obviously, Soto and right. That's one hell. You got a non-hitting defensive center fielder and a young kid and Juan Soto. That is not a good enough outfield. You've got no one at first base. Rumors that like they might sign another former Yankee and Paul Goldschmidt and platoon him and McNeil at first base to go along with an infield of Beatty, Lindor, and Semien. And Alvarez is your catcher. With a starting rotation of no one you feel good about at the top, unless, I mean, I shouldn't say that because, like, what McClain did last year was impressive, but it is only, like, I don't want to say he's not going to be good, but he might not be he might not have the same type of season. You can't expect that the run he was on at the end of the year to be how he starts and completes the entire year. You think he's going to be, I mean, you're talking about a Cy Young Award winner. You're talking about, like, without question, an ace of a staff. And I don't think there's any reason to think he can't eventually get there. But it's fairly wishful thinking to think he's going to have a full season like he had the last couple weeks of the regular season last year. Like, pitchers just, you know, it's you can't just lock him in as an ace. He might be that, but we don't know. So, I mean, you need multiple starting pitching. Right now you have three arms in the bullpen you trust. In Williams, Raley, and Minter. A kid in left, a defensive player in center, a defensive player at second, a platoon of lousy, you know, of, you know, average with no power hitters, maybe at their best at first. Like, you're competing with the Dodgers. This isn't, you know, you're competing with the Phillies. Ben in Orlando. What's up, Ben?
Hey, how's it going, C-Mac? So, at first, I was really frustrated with Edwin Diaz when I saw the numbers. But the more time goes by, getting more and more frustrated with the front office of the Mets. I mean, honestly, they should be taking with the lockout looming. They should leverage that and have an approach like an NFL GM. Because at this moment, anyone for a 2-3 year deal, they're going to be looking for that guaranteed money because they're not going to get paid during the lockout year. So, what they should have just went ahead, gave Diaz 70 for 3 years, add another $5 million to the first year and another $5 million to the third year, and just leverage that. Because the deal that he has with the Dodgers now, he's out $23 million if there's a lockout during year two.
If he misses the entire year two, he's out $23 million.
If there's an MLB lockout, they're not going to get paid.
No, I get it. I understand that. I mean, look. I'm not sure. I hear what you're saying. There's different thoughts and reasons to attack this offseason in a different way because of the lockout. Some people say, what the hell, spend all the money. Maybe the who knows? Payroll's grandfathered in and you don't get count for over the luxury tax for players signed before last year. Like, who knows? Who knows what's coming? So there's the thought of don't spend any money because you don't know the finances, or go spend a ton because you don't know the finances. And try and lock players in. We saw it with the Yankees, right? I think the Yankees got fooled, and maybe the lockout, the impending lockout, had something to do with his thought process. Trent Grisham, that is. I think they figured Trent Grisham was going to, like, because of the lockout, get every last penny he could get and get every guaranteed money. But maybe you're right. If there's a lockout and they're not going to get paid, he's like, I might as well make as much money as I can this year. I don't know. But I know this. Edwin Diaz left for $3 million because the Mets didn't handle him in a way that made him happy. And you know what? We could sit here and argue about whether or not that's fair and whether or not the Mets don't have to make him happy. But bottom line is, he left. He left for $3 million to go to the best team in baseball, the two-time defending World Series champs. And it was for $3 million. The Mets should have done more to make him happy so that he wouldn't not... Because I don't care how much you want to go to the Dodgers. If you want to go to the Dodgers, you take back the $69 million to the Mets and get them to say 70, and then go back to the Dodgers and get them to say 71. Like, even if you wanted to go to the Dodgers, you still come back. Like, that was the other thing I was thinking about yesterday. Like, even if you wanted the Dodgers, why not come back to the Mets and see if they'll match or go above? And then go back to the Dodgers. And then even if the Dodgers say, nope, I'm drawing the line in the sand at 69, and then take it if you want to go to the Dodgers. If you don't go back to the Mets, that means you're pissed off. That's what it means. And I'm sorry. You can call players soft nowadays, and who the hell is he to be pissed off? Or what the Mets do other than offer him $66 million? I wish someone would piss me off that much. Like, I get it. But the bottom line is, you want to keep him. And he left. Arthur in Seacliff. What's up, Arthur?
Hello.
Hello.
Wow. I've been holding so long, I don't even remember what I was going to say. But I got to say this.
You can always call back.
No. Pete Alonso.
That's what I thought.
Pete Alonso brought people to the ballpark.
He did.
I have two grandnephews that live in San Francisco that die over Pete Alonso.
Mm-hmm.
All right? They make their summer trip every year to come to New York when the Giants are playing the Mets, and they go to Citi Field not to see the Giants, but to see Pete Alonso. He was a draw. He would have paid for himself, just like Soto pays for himself, just like Judge pays for himself.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what the organization was thinking by allowing him to leave.
Yeah. I don't know if... I got to be totally honest with you. I don't know. I don't even know if Judge pays for himself necessarily. I don't know if Pete pays for himself. There's only one player. I talked about it yesterday. There's one player who pays for himself, and that's Shohei Ohtani. There may be others who come close, and I don't disagree with you. Like... Pete's, like, as a caller mentioned it before about John Mara talking about Saquon Barkley. Pete is like that type of player for the fan base. He's beloved. He's been a career Met. He just broke the record. He does every LFGM, the whole thing is all him. Like, he's been their guy. As you said, your two nephews love him. He's their guy. This is a devastating day for a lot of Met fans. And this is the ugly part of sports, because you fall in love with people. You do. And I talk about this a lot. Baseball, to me, is different. It's different than every other sport. It's every day. It's every single day. There's results in games every single night. And, you know, as popular as football is and as well-known as some of the superstars are, don't get me wrong, Eli Manning, Peyton Manning, Tom Brady might be the most recognizable person in the world. But, like, your favorite players are in helmets and shoulder pads, and then as soon as the game's over, for the most part, maybe some of you turn, if you're crazy enough, you turn to the to the post-game show on television, but for the most part, you're on to 4 o'clock. You're on to the 4 o'clock game. You're on to something else. You're on to your fantasy team. You're on to your bets. You're on to your whatever. Every night you watch the Yankees, you see the face. You see the multiple-minute-long battle between pitcher and hitter. You see them in the post-game every night talking. Every night you see those clips. Every night you turn on Yes, you turn on SNY, you watch the post-game. Every night there is a different relationship. I've said this for years. I totally believe it. If you are a diehard baseball fan, you have a closer connection to your team than any other diehard fan of any other sport. I don't know how it's possible. You can't have, like, if you're a diehard Giant fan or a diehard Jet fan, I'm sorry. You can't have that same type of investment and feel for your team as you do a diehard Met or Yankee fan. It's a different thing. It's every night. It's every night. Now, casual, sure, you could feel like if you're a casual fan and you're not like nutsos like some of us, if you don't follow your baseball team every single night, if you watch it when you can and then you just like, you know, the next day at work you hear from Ted in accounting about how the game went and, you know, you want them to win and then in the playoffs you really focus in. But like if you're there every single night, you can't be there every single day for Dexter Lawrence or for, you know, Garrett Wilson. You can't. It's not the same. And so there's a deep connection to Pete Alonso in this audience and this fan base and this city. And they put absolutely zero credence into that. Zero. Andrew in Guilford. What's up, Andrew?
Hey, C-Mac.
What's up, buddy?
First things first, you've been my favorite.
I pop a free goal, the honeys.
What's that?
Whenever anyone says first things first, I always have to follow it with I pop a free goal, the honeys. It's a big Biggie Smalls lyric. I have a weird thing where I always have to follow certain words with lyrics. Like if anyone says, all right, stop, I have to go collaborate and listen, like Vanilla Ice.
You have to
do that, right? So anyone says it's electric, I always go boogie, woogie, woogie. Like there are just things I have to do, and first things first is one of them, so I apologize.
No problem. I was going to congratulate you on the afternoon slot. You've
well, thank you.
For years, so happy for you.
Well, thank you. I'm sorry I interrupted that. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
No problem. And sticking with music for a second, while we still can't talk Beatles for a minute.
We can.
White Album.
Yes. White hey,
album,
listen, I'm telling you, listen, I'm pr- I make a promise.
Favorite Beatles album.
I make a promise. We could talk Beatles whenever I'm on the air. You want to call me and ask a Beatle question, it's always up for grabs. Now, what's the question?
Hell yeah, man. No, I was just saying White Album's my favorite Beatles album. Just wanted to throw that in there for you.
It's a classic. You know, there are a lot of people who downgrade it because of how much is on it. There are a lot of people who will listen to it and go, what the hell is this Wild Honey Pie? What the hell is, you know, Glass Onion and different things like that. And people think there's too many songs. I had one of my electives at Nassau Community College was rock history, rock music history. And he was a big one on that. He was a Beatles guy, but he said it was his least favorite album because there's a bunch of garbage on it. And I'm like, that's, first of all, there's no such thing as a garbage Beatles song. I don't care if it's just them strumming guitars out of tunes, you know, shrieking Honey Pie. I love it. But a lot of people do feel like if they just condensed it, I've even heard George Martin, the great producer, say that if they just condensed the White Album and took the best 10, 11, 12 songs, it would have been a great album. But I think the amount of stuff on it is what makes it great. And there's a lot of songs on the White Album that people don't know that are just absolute gems. I'm telling you right now, if you are looking for a song to go to sleep to or just a peaceful, calming song, go listen to Mother Nature's Son. It's on the second disc of the Beatle album. You've probably never heard of it. A more beautiful song does not exist. There's a lot of that. Long, Long, Long is an underrated George Harrison song that nobody really knows. I love it. Honey Pie, not Wild Honey Pie, but Honey Pie is a weird 1940s radio type eclectic song that a lot of people don't know. It's a gem. I wouldn't want any of those cut so that you can have Oh-Blah-Dee-Blah-Da and... Although, you know, those are great too. Dear Prudence, whatever. I wouldn't want them all condensed. There's your Beatle. 5 minutes. I hope everybody enjoyed it. King George in the Bronx. What's up, George?
Live long and prosper. Have a good January and February so you can march on through.
Yes.
And when are we getting together, me, you, and Zoo? And you know that show you're getting? That show you're getting?
Yes.
You're the Tin Man. Nobody gave you anything that you didn't already have. You already had what it took to have a show like that.
Well, I appreciate
it. So they
that.
Didn't give it to you. You earned it.
Well, I mean, listen, you're not going to get any argument from me, George. I absolutely think I've earned it. Again, for a long time. Maybe I'll tell the Vegas story. I don't know if everyone's heard the Vegas story about how I actually first got the internship. Giannotti, like, mentioned it briefly, but it's not entirely how Gio said it, but at some point today, maybe in this hour, a little bit, I got a break.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here for Mint Mobile. You know, one of the perks about having four kids that you know about is actually getting a direct line to the big man up north. Mm-hmm. And this year, he wants you to know the best gift that you can give someone is the gift of Mint Mobile's unlimited wireless for $15 a month. Now, you don't even need to wrap it. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
Crimes of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, but I'll tell the actual story as I'm, you know, as we did announce, the station announced, I'm going to be joining Craig as his co-host in the Craig Carton Show, afternoons, 2 to 7. Been here for a long time, and how I started here, how I got here, is literally a chance meeting in Las Vegas in 2006, 2005, I can't remember. But that's how crazy life can be. Quite literally, if I got on an elevator in Las Vegas 30 seconds earlier or 30 seconds later on a random night, one summer, one July night in 2005 or 2006, I got on an elevator to exit a club. If we would have decided to leave that club 30 seconds earlier or 30 seconds later, I don't think I'm sitting here. I mean, you never know. I did go to Connecticut School of Broadcasting. I was intending on sending out resumes. WFAN was clearly going to be a place I tried to get an internship at. And then once I got the internship, I had to do all the work. But it's hard to imagine if I had to go to the bathroom instead of getting on an elevator, I would not be sitting here, and I'm about to co-host Afternoon Drive. Life is crazy. There's no doubt about it. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you on The Fan. Quick break. Back with more of your calls next. Let's get back to the calls. Mets. We'll get to the Yankees as we are still waiting for them to do something And I will say this, since we're talking Mets, which I have no problem with, despite what people may think. Bellinger fits them. I mean, he fit them perfectly before. Now, he's not as good as Pete Alonso. Like, Yankee fans, let's just be real. He is not the same offensive player that Pete Alonso is. It's not close. It's not close. So for the Met fans, getting Bellinger is not going to be some sort of like real, well, it's okay they lost Pete because they got Bellinger. Bellinger's not as good. Now, he's defensively much better. Granted, he could play left. He could play first. He's better at both. Then Pete would be at, you know, first. Like, he's a better left fielder, clearly. Then Pete is a first baseman. He's a better first baseman as Pete. So, I mean, they helps them. Like, he helps them. He's a better left fielder than Nimmo would have been. He's an excellent left fielder. And he's a pretty damn good first baseman. And his bat is, you know, I think it's now after a couple of years where he was god-awful a few years ago. Over the last three, with one kind of down year in those three, but still, he is a solid 260 to 275 hitter, right? Let's just look at exactly what Bellinger has done the last 2 years. I mean, he is, over the last couple years, 307, 266, 272. He's a 270, 275 hitter. He's got an OPS above 800. Like, he is great defensively. He had 29 home runs last year at Yankee Stadium. Citi Field, he might lose a little bit, but he's going to hit you 25. He's going to drive in 90. He's going to hit 270. He's going to have an OPS of 800. Like, he is a solid, solid baseball player. And as a Yankee fan, I want him back. Bad. But I think they're going to lose him to the Mets. I think the Mets, off of this reaction, they have to do something. They're not going to want to go give Tucker 10 years. They need outfielders. There are some in the trade market. You can go find outfielders via trade. But free agency, they're not, unless you're going to go one of those two, unless you're going to go Tucker or Bellinger, they're really not out there. I think it's bad news for the Yankees on two angles. One, Pete Alonso just helped the Baltimore Orioles, who traded for Tyler Ward as well, to help their, I mean, he's a good player. He's been really solid in LA. He's coming to help their outfield. They just added Pete Alonso to first base. I'm curious what that means for Mountcastle, who, as you know, was rookie of the year and had some really solid years for them. He hasn't been able to stay healthy, but still, good bat. But Pete Alonso is obviously a pro and an all-star. But that lineup is now really deep. They've added Ward and Alonso to that lineup. That is a deep lineup. Still don't know about their pitching. They added Halsey, the closer, who was terrible for the Mets, but has had a career in St. Louis where you know he's a pretty good closer. I expect him to have a much better year than he had in the second half after being traded to the Mets. So they've improved their closer, who Batista's probably going to be. I think Batista is out all year with an arm injury. So, but they don't have a great bullpen. They don't have a great starting pitching staff. But that lineup is going to be devastating now. And because Pete left, I don't think that I would have been shocked that Pete didn't come back after losing Diaz. I will be shocked. I really think that Cody Bellinger is going to be a Met and that the Yankees are going to have to pivot via trade. I think they have to go out and get Bellinger. I really do. I think the Mets have to go out and get Bellinger. 888-808-1019. Andre in Connecticut. What's up, Andre?
What's up, Chris? Congrats on the afternoon show.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
I'm a longtime Mets fan, and I'm actually on the other side of this. All Mets fans listening to this probably be like, this guy's crazy. I'm on Stearns' side on this.
Okay.
All the way. I watch every game from Father's Day on last year. This team, if you take the four number, the core four, and take their numbers.
Right.
You take the fact that this team stole bases 90% of the time, they were safe when they stole.
Right.
You look at this team offensively and you're like, wow, this is a potent lineup last year, right? What did it do? Nothing. Yes, our pitching was terrible. Right. 100%.
100%.
Pitching was terrible. But if you don't improve the defense and your pitching, it doesn't matter. If the Yankees had some of the greatest lineups the last 20 years at times. Did you win World Series? Having the best lineup and everybody hitting a home run is not going to win you baseball games. Winning baseball games is done on the field. And when you're so bad defensively, you can't make the throw. I think Pete Alonso became, like you just said, Alonso got better.
You think he became so bad defensively that you can't play him and that home runs don't win baseball games? That's really where you're going? Come on.
No. What I'm saying is you have to be good defensively. Home runs win games, yes. But if you're going to give up eight runs, and you can't depend on your bats every single game.
No, I know. That lineup, for whatever reason, was uniquely unclutch last year. They were terrible with runners in scoring position all year long, right? Soto had an issue with it for a long stretch. Pete was kind of the only guy doing it early on in the season, hitting with runners in scoring position. They didn't have a single comeback win because they couldn't score runs late. Like, I get it. The offense was a problem. It should have been far better. That team was built on the idea they were going to score a ton of runs with the addition of Soto, and that they would pitch just enough and feel good at the back end of the bullpen where you should win a lot of games. And the pitching fell apart, but the offense was never what they hoped it would be. Totally agree with you. But you're telling me Pete Alonso alone defensively, when you know how good he is with balls in the dirt, Pete Alonso alone defensively, if you improve defense at second base, which you've already have, if you improve defense in left field, which you absolutely can, if you like you're telling me Pete Alonso alone makes you such a poor defensive team that it's unsustainable?
No. It's a collective. It's collectively.
Right.
It's a collective thing. If Pete Alonso is the worst defensive player we have on the team and you improve everywhere else,
right?
No, obviously. But you weren't. They were going to keep him. They were going to keep him if he was going to DH. Now, he was offered, for all Met fans that are mad that we don't have Pete Alonso, he was offered $160 million for 6 years, 3 years ago.
Yeah, and he ended up making more money.
He bet on himself and won. But up until that Devin Williams home run, it was a 50-50 shot, if you ask Met fans, before he beats the record. Before that Devin Williams home run, because he had a brutal year.
Yeah.
It was a 50-50 shot. Now, last year, I give it to you. I give it to everybody. He had a great year. I'm not saying he had a bad year. I just think defensively, this team is last year was god-awful. And it's hard to watch a team. If you can't pick up the ball and throw it home, and to Edwin Diaz, I called about this yesterday. Edwin Diaz, most of the time, first guy in, when he comes in, walk to first, within three pitches, he's at second base. Even though he didn't blow a lot of saves last year, he had 28 saves. I fall in love with players too. When DeGrom left the Mets, I cried. He was the first Met that we lost. And he didn't want to be a Met. If you don't want to be a Met, just like you're a Yankee fan, if Soto didn't want to be a Yankee, I get over it. It's like the scorned girlfriend. They want to leave, let them leave.
I know, but you can't say they wanted to leave when they were offered more money. Like, you can't say it definitively. You say Jacob DeGrom wanted to leave. He didn't turn down less money. He didn't turn down more money to go. He got offered more money from Texas and left. Like, you're basing this on the idea of what it used to be and some of the word around the neighborhood. You know, his wife didn't like it here, his politics, the New York's his opinion of New York's overreaction to COVID. Like, I don't even know if any of those things are true, but that's what you're basing it on. Because you can't base it on the idea that the Mets offered him more money, but he left for Texas. Texas offered him more money. They offered more money per year to two other pitchers. They gave Scherzer more money than DeGrom. And so he decided to leave for more money. We don't know what he wanted. You could say he wanted it, and maybe you're right. But there's no definitive proof. He didn't turn down money to leave. Same thing with Diaz. Oh, but there was wiggle room. And if he would have called them back, I have no doubt. But he didn't get. He got offered $66 million. That was the offer. Whether that offer comes with, hey, you know, maybe I suppose there's more if you find it. We don't want to give it to you. Keep you in mind. We don't want to give you more than 66. Like we 3 years, $66 million. We think that's fair, and we don't want to give you any more. But I suppose if you go find more, then come back to us, and I guess we can rediscuss it. Like, I've been your best closer for 3 years. What do you, why do I have to go find more money for you to give it to me? That's how he felt, fair or not. He didn't turn down more money. He left for more money. So I don't buy this, oh, they were desperate to leave. What are you going to do? And then as far as Pete Alonso in defense, like, I get it. And you also brought up a narrative that I cannot stand, that there are ways to enjoy losing or that there are worse ways to lose. It's such BS. Like you just said, it's hard to watch. Yankee fans say this all the time. Oh, with their offense and their inability to move runners over and home run or nothing, it's so hard to watch when they lose. No. Losing sucks, and losing is hard to watch. Losing 1-0 consistently isn't better than losing 13-11. Like, I'm telling you, you're not going to like it more. You're not like the idea, well, I would tolerate the losing if they just scored runs. Okay, so you tolerate a bad pitching team. Oh, man, if they just pitched well, I guess I could watch. I can't stand they getting knocked around the ballpark. Like, there's no fun way to watch losing. I hear this all the time. It's not only losing, it's not fun watching. There is no such thing as fun losing. If your bullpen can't hold the lead, that sucks to watch. If your starting rotation can't stop and can't, you know, prevent your team from falling behind consistently, that sucks to watch. If your offense doesn't score, that sucks to watch. There's no better one of those. It's not like, I'll go with the team that can't score. At least I know they can pitch. Like, or at least I know they can defend. Oh, I can't watch this team. They're terrible defensively. Losing is losing. You got to win. Now, you want to be good defensively so you can win. You want to hit so you can win. You want to pitch so you can win. But, like, there's no fun way to go about losing, or better way, or less horrible to watch. And winning is winning. And home runs bring winning. And Pete Alonso does more winning things than he does losing things. And if he's your worst defensive player, then you are not a bad defensive team. And they've already begun upgrading in other positions. Pete Alonso is not so bad defensively at first that you can't function defensively as a team. Sorry, I don't buy it. Nick in Franklin Square. What's up, Nick?
Good morning. How are you?
Good. How are you, buddy?
Good. I am a diehard Mets fan. I'm sick to my stomach over this.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? I can't blame it all on the GM. Because Steve Cohen came out and he said to us, within 5 years, we're going to win the World Series. He set us all this. He fed us all this nonsense, and he stuck it right up our rear end. Like, how is he? Oh, he's a diehard Mets fan. Diehard Mets fan. Oh, yeah. You trade away. You give up. You don't even offer him a contract. You don't know. You're a Mets fan. Like, what? I don't understand this.
Yeah, I hear you, and I'm sorry, Nick. You're lying. You sounded like you're a 100 miles away or underwater or something. I apologize. I mean, there's different ways to be a Met fan, and I understand if you think Pete Alonso moving on from Pete made the most sense. Like, I get it. I honestly think Diaz is worse. I like Pete. I think Pete is more of a winning player than a losing player. I don't think he was a problem inside the room, but I do understand not wanting to give him 5 years at $155 million. Like, I get that more than losing out on Diaz. I think Diaz is the harder player to replace. I really do. I think Diaz is the harder player to replace. Ray in Babylon. What's up, Ray?
First, can I make a Beatles point?
You certainly can, Ray.
All right. You know, I think it's there's too much emphasis with the Beatles on the influence of Beethoven and Bach on them, because when you listen to Helter Skelter, that really is the first hard rock or heavy metal song. And I don't think if we didn't have Helter Skelter, I don't know if Black Sabbath would have had an opportunity, because they really, really flooded the market with a badass song. And, you know, they showed the Who was who can really make a dirty song, and Helter Skelter is that song.
No, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know if I would classify it as the first, or, Like, I was Paul's reaction to the comments about the Beatles being not hard rock, right? He wanted to write that kind of song because of some of the critic and peer complaints about who they were as a band. And I listen, I don't know if that song in particular means there wouldn't be Black Sabbath, but if you've ever heard Ozzy Osbourne, who unfortunately recently passed away, talk about the Beatles, like his, I think his quote was literally, it's like, we were living in black and white, and then all of a sudden someone turned the color on. Like, it's yeah, just like, that's what the Beatles were like for him. So, I mean, I think they shaped, and it's crazy. Do you know, listen, you want to hear something crazy about the Beatles? Just the, for 1 second, we're going to get right back to sports.
Yeah,
it's one of those number games, you know. when I was a kid growing up, and then into my 20s, I would always like say, I'm like, you know, I'm 24. Do you know Paul McCartney was 24 when he wrote Yesterday? I'm like, I cannot believe a 24 year old. I'm an idiot who just wants to play video games and eat McDonald's, and this guy is, you know, writing Yesterday, and he was my age. You play the number game. If the Beatles broke up today, right? Say the Beatles were a band today, and they broke up today, their first album came out in 2018. That's it.
Yeah.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day. Yeah, give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan, equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense, while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's it. Like, that's how short a span, like, from now until 2018, that was it. And they changed the freaking world in those 8 years and put so much music out there. It's crazy.
They sure did. And the maturity of that band, you know, they went.
Yeah.
But even their simple songs are just absolute gifts. And I really do believe for a brief moment that they really were God's gift to the world in music. And the world's a better place because
I'm totally with you, man. They were something special. They were something special. They just hit at the right time, and they could do no wrong. Like, they could do no wrong. Whatever they did sounded cool. Whatever they did was right. Like, silly, stupid things, weird noises. Like, they would go into the studio and you know, the guitar got too close to the amplifier and had feedback, and they're like, oh, let's put that in the beginning of the song. And then there's the opening to I Feel Fine. It's a huge hit. Like, it's crazy. Or, you know, at the end of Hello, Goodbye, you know, chug, chug, chug. It's like, why the hell would you do that? I don't know, but it worked. Dave in Stamford. What's up, Dave?
Hey, CNAP. What's going on, man? Congrats on the show coming in the new year.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Hey, so what I want to talk about, obviously, here is, you know, huge Mets fan, diehard. And again, obviously, you know, we don't know the future yet. We got to see how Stearns, you know, plan plays out. But, you know, if you look at this, I'm kind of equating this to two things. You know, is this a Mavs, Luka Doncic, Nico Harrison situation where, you know, Nico Harrison thought he was too smart. He had the better idea, convinced ownership to do it. I feel like Stearns is in that same spot here where he's kind of convinced Cohen to say, hey, let's get rid of all these guys.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem here is I'm not saying Alonzo, Nimmo, or Edwin Diaz are a talent of Luka Doncic, but you just lost three core fan favorites that I think if he doesn't bring back the right guys, or if he does what the Mavs did, you bring back some talent, but they get hurt, they don't perform. I think you could be looking at a June 1st, a June 15th, we're, you know, 19 and 32, and Steve Cohen has to do what the Mavs did and say, we totally messed this up. You throw Stearns under the bus and say his plan didn't work because he didn't make the right moves last year at the deadline, right? I mean, the team only needed one or two real big moves. I mean, the lineup was there. I understand the production, but Alonzo's Alonzo. He's a fan favorite, man. And you're getting this team at a point where these fans, and you can hear from the calls today, these fans might be chanting fire Stearns come June 15th when this thing's a total disaster. Unless, again,
if it is,
he's got some bigger plan that we don't know about.
No, I know. And here's the issue with the bigger plan, right? And I spoke to it in the open. Here's the problem with the bigger plan. Because the bigger plan, without question, will involve doing things he's uncomfortable with. I don't know how else to say it. Like, what could be the big plan without doing, like, he's going to have to give someone, like, I mentioned that I think they're really going to give, they're going to go get Bellinger. That scares me as a Yankee fan that now they are in a spot where they have to go get Bellinger. But here's the thing. Right now, the Yankees and Bellinger are reportedly at a standoff because Bellinger wants 7 years. And I don't care who you are, that's going to make you uncomfortable giving Bellinger 7 years at $30 million. It just is. So if that's where Bellinger is, are the Mets going to get him? Because I just can't imagine the Mets doing, like, is Stearns going to be willing to go to that level of uncomfortability? He hasn't shown that. Like, what could be the big move coming? Like, if you want to trade for Skubal, right? That's the dream, trade for Skubal. I get it. And I think the owner would be willing to pay him whatever he wants to. I think the owner would still be willing to spend money. But when you trade for Skubal, and I even said this at the beginning, I don't know if it makes sense for the Mets because just sign him next year in the offseason. But think of the asset allocation you are giving for Skubal. You are trading away an absolute haul if you're going to convince the Tigers on giving up on a chance to win in the American League. Right? They don't have the Dodgers there. If they get to the World Series, they might have to face the Dodgers. But it's an American League that, for the most part, I mean, I know the Blue Jays are good, but are they so good they can't be beat? They were a last-place team last year. The Tigers have been a playoff team 2 years in a row. They just signed a new closer, or just signed a closer. Like, you're going to have to convince them to give up on an opportunity to win to trade the best pitcher in baseball away. It's going to take a massive haul. And then you're going to have to sign him to over $300 million. Probably damn near $400 million. Both of those things on their own. Just the value you're going to have to give up and the money you're going to have to pay. Both of them are going to make David Stearns extremely uncomfortable. On their own. And now you're asking him to do both. What makes you think that he's willing to do that? Like, if you have this master plan for the Mets, that they're doing all this because they have a master plan, part of that master plan is going to have to be doing something that makes him uncomfortable. And the question is, because the one example you can point to is Juan Soto, was that the owner saying, you know what, I have to flex my muscle once here. I have to be this guy once here. It's against the Yankees. It's the greatest free agent since Alex Rodriguez. He's young. He's fantastic. He sells tickets. It will be a real crowning achievement of me as the Met owner. This one I'm doing. Is he going to have that opinion again? because I don't think Stearns has it in him, as of yet, to do something that makes him uncomfortable. And no matter what it is, Tucker, Bellinger, trade for Scooble, trade for this one, trade for that one. As of right now, one of them, if not all of them, are going to make him uncomfortable. When is he going to be willing to do that? 888-808-1019. Quick break. McMonagle here with you on The Fan. 2 hours down. No, 3 hours down. No, 2 hours down. I was right the first time. Three more to go as we take you all the way to midnight right here on The Fan. We'll be right back.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crime House original.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes Of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.